You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Good morning. Today on The Breakfast Grill, I'm speaking to Voon Z K, the general manager of Rev Asia Berhad, which was previously known as Catcher Media Berhad. Rev Asia Berhad is the holding company of the digital media group Rev Asia Holdings, of which ZK is managing director. So ZK, welcome to The Breakfast Grill this morning.
Good morning, Melissa.
Good to have you here. Now, I guess for those who are not quite familiar with what Rev Asia does, let's get a sense of the business first, ZK. Talk to us about the different business verticals under Rev Asia Holdings.
Sure. So we're essentially a digital media group in Malaysia. And the way we segment our business, you know, it's clearly to reach out to the diversity of the population, you know, in Malaysia. So under the Rev Asia business, we've got social news and websites that are created, you know, in English and in the Bahasa Malaysia, as well as in the Chinese spoken languages. So within the English segment, we've got a website called says.com, which is Malaysia's fastest-growing social news website. And across to the Bahasa Malaysia vernacular section, we've got a site called obulan.com, okay, of which today it's the number one social and entertainment Bahasa Malaysia news website. Across over to the Chinese, you know, language segment, we've got a product called viralchamp.com, as well as rogerlart.com, of which, you know, they are both more famously known as the VC network, and today it commands, you know, a very strong position in the social news Chinese division. So we've also got a publishing brand called Juice, which has been around in Malaysia for the last 14 years, and Juice is essentially the leading street culture and entertainment brand in Malaysia. But moving on into 2017, you know, we will be discontinuing the print edition of Juice, but Juice will go on a full digital strategy in the coming year.
Why discontinue? Do you no longer see print as a viable business proposition?
I think over the last 4 to 5 years, you know, we've seen huge challenges across the magazine print business, simply because we've seen a huge migration of online users, okay, growing phenomenally, you know, in Malaysia. The media consumptions, you know, habits of the younger generation, you know, are now, you know, spending more time on social media, you know, than reading magazines or even watching television. So as traditional media publishers before, I think the important thing is, you know, for us to act, you know, and pivot fast, you know, otherwise, you know, we'll miss out on the opportunity of capturing this emerging digital population. So I think, you know, we've come to an era whereby if you don't go digital, you know, you're going to miss out.
Does it feel like an end of an era, though, because this is your last print? Yeah. Your last print publication, isn't it? And now you're migrating online.
Yeah, I mean, for us, you know, I mean, it's going to be digital, you know, all the way, you know, and social all the way. I don't think it's an end of era for magazine, you know, publishers. I think it's about, you know, providing diversity, you know, and offering, you know, within each media house. And for us, you know, we simply believe, you know, in reaching our audiences, you know, through social and online platforms.
So, ZK, talk to me a little bit about, so you've got the publishing, which is Juice, and yeah, then you've got the online media business as well as the social media business.
Sure.
But and how do you differentiate that? Because you've got all these social news content platforms. Mm-hmm. Is it all kind of jumbled up under one umbrella? Are the lines blurred for you, or do you have very clear business verticals? Online media is this, social media is that.
So essentially, you know, you look at Rev Asia as being, you know, a digital media company, and we view our brand assets, you know, as social news websites. We don't segment them, you know, whether it's social or online. You know, everything it's digital, everything it's online, you know, and we classify this, you know, through the three main languages, you know, that's spoken in this country, which is Chinese, Malay, as well as English. And to cap off, you know, the business assets that Rev Asia owns, we also have a brand called 8share.com, mm-hmm, which essentially is a social distribution platform where consumers earn cash, you know, when they share content on their social platforms, you know, like Facebook, WhatsApp, Twitter, etc. So view Rev Asia as a content social business, Okay, and we use obviously 8Share as a distribution platform, you know, to widen, you know, our content reach for brands, you know, to online users community in Malaysia.
Is that your revenue generator right there?
Yes. So the main revenue generator of RevAsia today, it's mainly focused, you know, on sponsored content. So how we make money, you know, it's really, you know, derived, you know, through content that we produce for advertisers. And how do we then ensure that this content are strategically distributed, you know, viably on the social media platforms, you know, that we own? So that's where 8Share comes in, you know, to sort of like create a critical mass of content distribution at the very early stage of a campaign.
So you would say that the revenue generator is through the sponsored content side. Is everything else more of a cost center for you?
Yes. So the cost center, you know, really in an online business, you know, majority of it comes from, you know, human resource. And besides that, it's obviously, you know, other costs, you know, like cost of sale, you know, on traffic, you know, to reach out to a certain selected, customers. And obviously overheads, you know, et cetera. So I think, you know, majority of the revenue of Rev today really, you know, comes from content marketing. It's what we call sponsored content in both articles as well as video and format. And the other portion of revenue, you know, would come from display advertising as well as some events, you know, that we manage for advertisers.
I want to talk about the success of Says.com. Sure. You got the formula right there. You targeted urban English-speaking millennials. And then when you acquired Obulan in 2014,
yes,
you replicated that success formula, that successful formula, to the Malay mass market.
Sure.
Talk to me about what goes into that formula. Is it simply targeting millennials? Is that the game changer for you?
Yes. If we backtrack, you know, in year 2012, you know, we saw obviously a huge shift, you know, of advertising towards social media. And I think, you know, as Rev, you know, we were obviously, you know, we saw that, you know, and we reacted, you know, fast to ensure that, you know, we continue, you know, to create, you know, content that's meaningful for the younger generation of millennials. So if you look at how advertising is today, you know, majority of the marketing messages, they take shape, you know, in terms of social content rather than interruptions. So as an online media group, you know, we need to act and pivot fast to ensure that whatever we create, you know, will be distributed socially to our online audience. So Says, you know, over the last 3 to 4 years, you know, have grown phenomenally, you know, because our strategy, you know, on our social distribution was the only thing that we focus on, and obviously creating, you know, meaningful content on articles, listicles, videos, you know, got
right.
us there.
I can see where I do agree with you that there has been a shift in terms of the way advertisers are now kind of focusing social media. But do you think the shift has been large scale enough? I mean, has this shift been mass enough that most of advertisers now are looking at social media? Or do you think there's still some hesitance towards approaching social media sponsored content?
I think it's not. I don't think, you know, advertisers are hesitant, you know, on investing, you know, in sponsored content. I think the bigger, you know, question here is that how big, you know, would sponsored content, you know, grow, you know, in the coming years? I think, you know, I mean, sponsored content, it's not a new business model. You know, traditionally, you know, content, you know, everyone view it as king. I think the most important question here we need to ask ourselves is that how do we monetize, you know, content where traditionally, you know, a lot of magazine publishers or even print, you know, publications, they offer content, you know, as part of an advertising, you know, campaign.
Right.
But today, what Rev does is that we monetize on the content itself, you know, and ensuring that the eyeballs, you know, are met, you know, for each and every campaign, you know, that we execute for a brand.
Let's come back to the different vernacular platforms that you have. So you've got Says.com, which targets the English-speaking millennial crowd.
Sure.
Obulan with the urban Malay-speaking crowd, shall we say?
Obulan's mass Malay market, and really, you know, I think it's probably, you know, we capture probably about 10 to 15% of the total internet population, you know.
How did you manage to grow that? Because I was looking at that chart and it just went up and up and up. So you're looking at more than 200% increase in revenue just through sponsored content on Obulan.
So what happened was that when we acquired Old Bulan back in 2014, you know, we saw, you know, a huge, you know, gap, you know, in terms of how much, you know, Old Bulan could grow from a traffic point of view. And at the back of a very successful, you know, sales.com over the last couple of years, what we've done is that we transferred the knowledge, you know, and secret sauce of what Sales has been doing.
What was that secret sauce?
Social, you know, distribution of our content, you know, on socially.
So it's the platform, it's the medium, you're saying.
It's a media that allows that to happen, but at the same time, we need to be able to identify the type of content, you know, that the younger generation of consumers in Malaysia would like to consume, you know, and we ensure that these content are highly shareable in nature. You don't produce, like, you know, a 1,000-word long form, you know, piece of content, you know, and expect people to share it, you know, and read it, you know, on a day-to-day basis. So a lot of our content, you know, around Sales and even Old Bulan today, you know, content that's curated, you know, by our team of content producers. And yeah, it's really about, you know, replicating, transferring that knowledge, you know, from Sales over to Old Bulan. But at the same time, it's about understanding the audience, you know, and market, you know, of the Malay speaking generation as well. So if you look at the news, you know, that we publish on Old Bulan, it's a little bit different compared to Sales. And
what was the difference?
So the main difference, you know, obviously comes from the entertainment, you know, segment.
So not just language, but also a slight skew to entertainment.
It's very much skewed towards entertainment, you know, and social news. So you'll find, you know, a lot of celebrity gossips, you know, that happens, you know, within Malaysia over across at Old Bulan. Site there, whereas Sage it's very much, you know, focusing on local and also global news per se.
CK, why target millennials? Is that where the spending power is?
I think the population, I mean, you know, majority of the population, you know, in Malaysia today, you know, are largely revolved, you know, around millennials. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, you know, they take up 20 or 30% of total Malaysia population today, you know, and because the market, you know, it's moving towards, you know, an emerging online consumption, you know, the millennials today who are born, you know, on the mid, you know, 80s, you know, onwards, they no longer watch, you know, television. They spend more time on YouTube. They spend more time on social media platforms like WhatsApp, Facebook, and Twitter.
Do you consider yourself a millennial? Do you think this the way a millennial would think?
I definitely would think that, you know, I think as a millennial, I mean, I was born obviously, you know, in the 70s, you know, and branded as in Gen X, but I would like to see myself as more of a generation connected, you know, rather than anything else.
I'm speaking to Voon CK, the Managing Director of Rev Asia Holdings. After this, we talk about their growth strategies for 2017. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9. Good morning. Today on The Breakfast Grill, I have Voon CK, the General Manager of Rev Asia Berhad, formerly Catcher Media Berhad. He's also the Managing Director of Rev Asia Holdings. I'm curious to talk about a couple of new acquisitions that you've made in the different vernaculars. Now, in August, Rev Asia acquired two popular Chinese social news websites, Viral Cham and Rojala, if I'm saying that correctly.
Yep, that's okay. Correct.
That was 5 million ringgit. You've extended your reach now to the online Chinese audience. You've also bought three new Bahasa Malaysia sites, siraplimau.com, myrecipe.com and kongsirecipe.com. Yep. Is there a reason why you've chosen to increase your vernacular focus?
Sure. Malaysia is a country with great, you know, diversity, you know, and in order for any media company, you know, to capture the majority of Malaysians, you know, what we've done here is that we've obviously, you know, zoomed into the main languages, you know, that's spoken in this country. And that's, you know, when we created, you know, obviously our strategy, you know, around reaching out to different languages spoken in Malaysia. So if you only pick, say, for example, you know, the English speaking audience, then the focus, you know, on reach, you know, it's really, really very much, you know, centered towards the Klang Valley, as well as certain key market centers. And Malaysia, you know, being a country with a population of about 30 million people and with online penetration, you know, at the moment, you know, close to 70-odd, you know, percent, you need to diversify and you need to obviously, you know, cater to the different languages spoken in this country.
Right. So is this a plan going forward that you are going to grow inorganically, just buy up different types of different websites? websites that catch your eye?
So two main strategies that REF, you know, has always employed. One is obviously, you know, through mergers, you know, and acquisitions, and hence, you know, the two acquisitions, you know, this year. Organic, you know, growth. It's also something that the company focuses a lot on. We've always, you know, looked at the market and see how trends, you know, are obviously, you know, changing, and we act, you know, and pivot fast to ensure that, you know, we reach out, you know, to this market.
Well, talk to me about that. What are your data points telling you about the trends in this market? Yeah. I can only imagine how fast changing this market will be from one day to the next, right?
So what we've seen this year, you know, especially in 2016, is that a lot of the content consumption, you know, on the online platform, it's really routed via the video platforms. And hence, you know, what we've done this year is that at the beginning of the year, we set up our own studios back in the office. We hired a team of video producers, you know, and video editors. And to date, you know, we have created numerous, you know, videos, you know, that has garnered, you know, close to about 125 million views, you know.
Is that sponsored content or for social news content?
So these are a combination, you know, of sponsored content as well as content, you know, that each and every website, you know, produces on its own. So we've obviously seen, you know, video, you know, as a kicker this year, you know, to drive growth for us.
Well, as a social news content, how do you deal with the fake news phenomenon? I'm sure you've been following that happening all around the world. Do you feel a sense of responsibility to ensure that your news is authentic?
Yes, most definitely. I mean, we're not, you know, sites that publish articles, you know, just to get, you know, certain, you know, eyeballs. What we do is that we obviously curate, you know, topics, you know, that's trending on the internet, you know, and we pull content for different sources, you know.
So it's manually done.
It's manually done. The reason why I say that majority of our content are original, it's because we've always, you know, looked at the original idea of a content. And what we do is that we then create, you know, this content, you know, in two ways. One, by curating content, and two, writing our own social headlines.
Okay, so you kind of tweak it to fit the Rev Asia reader, Rev Asia user.
Correct.
Okay, well, you know, just looking at, you guys came from left field from nowhere and you've disrupted the traditional media industry. I think you are now doing better or even in the same league as the traditional media companies. Do you consider yourself in the same league as the big boys?
Well, I think from a reach point of view, we are, you know, in the top three of, you know, digital eyeballs as, you know, published by Comscore Analytics. I would say that, you know, with the recent acquisition of assets from Dua Mahala Group, Ref Asia today, you know, it's probably the second largest digital media group in Malaysia from an audience point of view.
So you've disrupted traditional media. Yeah. What would be a disruptor to your business?
Well, I think that it's really technology. I think, you know, as we move, you know, forward, you know, to 2020, I think every year you would see new emergence, you know, of new technology that allows, you know, publishers, you know, to reach out to consumers better, that allows, you know, brands to advertise, you know, their products, you know, in a different way. So I think the key for us here is that, you know, how we have acted before, okay, to pivot and change fast because of the switch, you know, of online consumption content from offline to online. And I think moving forward, you know, really it's about, you know, capturing, you know, that big change, you know, again. I think technology, you know, will definitely disrupt, you know, the way we will be running business, you know, in the coming years.
Yeah, I think you have to be very nimble if you are going to be within this space because, you know, it will change. Technology advances so quickly and trends will change so quickly. As you grow, how will you remain nimble and flexible enough to make those important pivots?
I think Rev Asia has invested, you know, heavily in creating an amazing culture, you know, in our company. And I think, you know, it has proven to work very well for us because we've attracted a lot of top quality talents. So what we do is that we practice, you know, flexible practices at RefAsia, you know, that allows us, you know, or allows the employees, you know, to express themselves freely, to perform, you know, and allows them to grow, you know, individually in this fast-paced, you know, competitive environment. Yeah. So I think it all starts with the people, the culture that we set, you know, at Ref. And with that, you know, things will fall into place.
So do you treat the business like a Silicon Valley startup?
Well, we don't. We think like a startup. And in most cases, you know, we make, you know, quick and fast decisions. But I don't think we are a startup simply because we're already, you know, a company that's been growing, you know, in terms of revenue year on year.
Mm. And you're listed.
We're listed. We're on track, you know, to over, you know, exceed our targets, you know, this year from a profitability point of view. So the business is really focused on not just growing, you know, the audience point of view, but also the revenues and the bottom line, you know, of the business.
Do you have unicorn ambitions? Your paid up capital is about 77 million. Still a long way from a billion, but do you have unicorn ambitions?
Ambitions are always going to be there. I think, you know, we've got to be realistic, you know, about our goals. So I don't think, you know, like 10 years in advance, you know, from now, you know, because like I mentioned before, technology changes, you know, the way consumers, you know, consume content online. Let's just say that, you know, we're aiming, you know, to get across 150 million mark, you know, in the coming year.
Oh, well, speaking about the financial side, given that you are a publicly listed company, the share price has come down quite a fair bit from a high of 1.30 ringgit. It's now just under 60 cents. That's a fall of over 100%, ZK. Mm-hmm. Is that a sign that the market doesn't believe in your business model?
I don't think so, because from a RefAsia Berhad point of view, you know, we've got an investment, you know, in a company called iCar Asia Limited, which is a public, you know, listed company in Australia. I think, you know, our shareholding today, you know, it's below 20%.
It's currently below 20%.
It's below 20%.
I think it was back in 2014 when you announced that you were going to first divest, I think it was a 27% stake.
Yeah.
So it's now below 20.
It's below 20%. Okay. You know, and reason why is that, you know, our shares was diluted, obviously, you know, through shares that, you know, other companies bought in. iCar in Australia, you know, it's a company that seeks, you know, growth. You know, it's a startup business, you know, that's continuing, you know, to grow, and it's losing money. So I think, you know, the share price that's been reflected on Ref, you know, today, personally, I think it's undervalued, because if you take away the losses, you know, that we've incurred, the losses that I kind of incurred, and focus, you know, solely on the Ref Asia Holdings business in Malaysia, I think, you know, there is a very strong potential, you know, in terms of how the business will grow in the future.
But how will you convince the market that, in fact, RefAsia will recover from iCar weighing down its financials?
I think you know, the best way to look at it is to zoom in into the operating, you know, assets and business of RefAsia Holdings, which are the ones I mentioned earlier. We're growing our revenues, you know, quarter on quarter. We're growing our revenues from year on year. Our audience, you know, it's growing double digits, you know, month on month.
Speaking about growth, ZK, could I get you to talk a little bit about the overseas expansion plans? Because I know you're in Indonesia and Philippines and Vietnam as well through Says.com. What are the plans for these markets, and are you planning on expanding further?
The reason why we've obviously chosen Philippines and Indonesia as our first, you know, countries in Southeast Asia to expand, it's two key reasons. One, it's the English-speaking market in Philippines, and two, it's obviously the Bahasa Indonesia, you know, relevance, you know, to Bahasa Malaysia in Malaysia as well.
Similar markets,
and I think the population, you know, warrants, you know, an entry, you know, for us. I would say that today, you know, the way we operate our international business, it's fairly, you know, a startup feel. It's pretty much run on a bootstrap model. We're testing out the market there. We're trying to do a bit more research and understand, you know, the local culture and the business culture of each market. And that contributes, you know, less than 10% of the total overall RefAsia business. So I think moving forward, you know, for us in these markets, rather than focusing on doing it ourselves, I think the strategic, you know, move would be to look at a local partner that we could, you know, partner with, you know, to drive, you know, the business moving forward.
I've been speaking to Vun ZK, the General Manager of Rev Asia Berhad and the Managing Director of Rev Asia Holdings. ZK, it's been a pleasure speaking with you on The Breakfast Grill today. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Melissa. Thanks for having me.
I'm Melissa Idris for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.